Welcome to Twisted Plot Podcast. Here is your host, Evelyn Marley.
I wish you guys could hear how many bloopers I've done right before this one. I'm hoping this is the one. Welcome to the second episode of Twisted Plot Pod. I'm Evelyn Marley, as you heard that cute little voice say right before this. On today's episode, I talk with Chelsea from @OhNoBravo on Instagram. If you don't follow her, stop what you're doing, go to Instagram, open up your app, and follow her, because if you like Bravo and you like Vanderpump, you will love her content. It is so funny, and it puts a smile on my face every single day. I highly, highly recommend it. On today's episode, we talk about how she got started in memery, her self-proclaimed birthday monster, and we also recap Vanderpump Rules. And at the end, of course, she gives me her signature plot twist, which I'm loving about this show so far because I love to hear what my guests come up with. It's really fun. And if you want to reach out to me, please shoot me an email at twistedplotpod@gmail.com, or you can reach me in my DMs at This One's For You Tonight on Instagram. I'm also on Twitter. I have not been giving Twitter a lot of love. I need to go back and start promoting this podcast on Twitter because I do have a lot of followers on there, thankfully, but I need to go there and update them because I don't want to hide anything from them. They need to hear. So enjoy the episode and enjoy Chelsea. Bye.
All right. So I'm going to just jump right into it.
Sure.
My special guest for today is a meme fan page dedicated to all things Bravo. Out of her self-proclaimed broken brain, she has brought us the creation of Frankenwife, where she morphs different physical attributes of housewives together. Oh No Bravo Zodiac, where our star signs align with Bravo celebrities. And Oh No Bravo Explains Things to Her Mom, where Chelsea explains the world of Bravo to her mom using the highlights of each Bravo celebrity's career. If having a broken brain is wrong, I don't want a proper functioning one because you're hilarious.
Oh, thank you. I'm gonna save that soundbite and have it as like a daily affirmation for me. Thank you.
I can continue. You are so funny. You come up with the most creative. I don't even know where you get it from, but just don't stop. Keep going and keep us along for the journey. The lover boy quest.
My everlasting quest to get my cousin just a taste of that sweet, sweet lover boy. Kyle, if you're listening, I know you listen to this podcast, you know, just
yes.
Hit me up. Just one variety pack is all I'm asking for, please.
So I really appreciate you sparking creativity in my mind because it helps me keep going and memeing. So I want to know what your first experience with reality TV was. What show turned you on to reality TV?
So reality TV in general, I have always gravitated towards trash TV. My mom has been a reality TV junkie. I was probably watching it from like a young age when I should not be watching trash TV. But I would say my first show that I was truly obsessed with was America's Next Top Model. My friends and I in high school, that's actually where my drinking games started, which I don't know if I should be admitting to that, but my friends and I would come up with America's Next Top Model drinking games and play it in my basement while we watched. So that was kind of my first dip into the reality world.
ANTM, of course. I am with you. We used to watch every week.
And then actually Vanderpump Rules was my first true, like, that was my gateway drug into Bravo. Cause I had watched Project Runway when it was originally on Bravo, but I was watching for Project Runway. I wasn't watching Bravo per se, but Vanderpump Rules was my gateway drug. And here I am now.
Did you get your friends to watch Vanderpump Rules with you, or did you just start watching and then slowly started trickling in?
So it was very serendipitous. It was right before Vanderpump Rules season 2 was about to start. So Bravo was doing one of their like all weekend long marathons to get you ready for the new season. I just went to grad school. I was doing long distance with my then boyfriend, now my husband. So I was just kind of alone in this new city and I didn't really know anybody. And I happened to catch season 1 or episode one, season one. And I think I literally like ordered Jimmy John's for every meal. I did not leave my like one room shack I was living in. And I just like, I was like, yep, this is it. I love this show. And then a couple weeks later, I went and visited my best friend and I made her binge season one. And she's obsessed with it too now. And I've actually, I talked about this when I went on, Mixing with Monty, Monty's podcast, but I actually created my worst nightmare because my best friend now identifies as Katie from Vanderpump Rules. And it's like my worst nightmare.
I did hear that and see that. And I saw the clapback she gave you, the explanation of what's happening. Yeah.
I have never gotten so many horrified DMs being like, are you okay? Like, is this an okay friendship? I'm like, guys, it's fine. Like, she is lovely. She's wonderful. She just happens to have the worst taste in characters ever.
Wait, who do you identify with? I don't know if I caught that part with.
So I think that if I was trying to be aspirational, I would love to be an Ariana, but I think that I am a Stassi.
Have you seen her in her live podcast tour or anything?
I haven't. No, my coworker has tickets. I'm really interested to see. I've heard really good things. Like, it seems like she's really putting in a lot of work towards it. And I love Taylor Strucker. So definitely interested to see what my coworker says about it. Have you seen it?
I went. It was quite the experience. I went to the San Francisco show and I made a shirt. it was
as one does.
Yeah, my Stoss and Boats shirt where they're like Hall & Oates, the cover of one of their albums.
That is amazing.
I was there to stand out. And unfortunately, when it came time to meet her, I literally froze. I had my friend Amy there. She got me tickets for this whole thing. And Amy was just like, okay, you're going to be fine. Like when you meet her, just relax, just chill out. She made sure I was like properly lubricated. She just stood to the side. She's like, you can have my picture as well, like my time with her. So you get extra long time. And it was so funny because as soon as I saw her, she came up and she gave me the biggest hug. She could tell I was totally nervous. She was just the nicest. Like I couldn't talk. I didn't know how to talk, which is funny because not me at all. I know how to talk, but just it was so wild talking to someone that I see on TV or listen to. And it was like definitely one of those starstruck moments for me. You should go because it was a good show. There were a lot of intoxicated women. I've never seen so many before in my life together.
That's kind of how I feel. I've gone to a couple of the Watch What Crappens live shows. Do you listen to them at all?
I do.
So I've gone to a couple of those shows and it's like, it is a whole nother level of party.
I totally relate to you. So it was nice being in a place, a safe space where people understand you, I would say.
100%. I love that. And that's kind of like the online community that we've formed. Like it's so nice to be able to just like talk to people, like not ironically, like I can debate with somebody, Carol versus Bethany, for hours and no judgment. Like I'm going to put my point across and you put your point across. It's so nice to be around like-minded, Bravo obsessed people.
It's a new age of political that I think we need in today's world. So I believe that we are doing something for the future. who are your favorite meme accounts? Why don't you give a shout out to them? Because I know they're listening right now because I know they love you so much.
Oh my gosh, I have so many. Well, you came out of the gate swinging when I first discovered you. I think like right when you first started and I was like dying at your stuff.
I think
there's so many good ones. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna like forget somebody and feel bad. I think Bravoing Together is hilarious. They're two women that just have really spicy takes on things. They're like, I feel like a little bit harsher than sometimes I am. Sometimes I want to be that harsh, but I like will shy back. So they're hilarious. I'm trying to think. I Live for Bravo is great. Some of the bigger ones, obviously like Bravo Historian, Best of Bravo, they're awesome. Oh gosh, I'm putting me on the spot now.
There's so many.
When this comes out, I'll tag everybody so I won't leave anybody out because everybody's great.
Yes. And I have to add Bravo, Mixing with Monty, See You Next Monday, Real Housepins OC. She's amazing.
I love
she
talking
really
to
is.
Her.
Gold Half Moon also, it's not a meme page, but her merch. She does the original, like, Blocked by Jax on Twitter. And all of her stuff that she's coming out with is so good lately.
We're so lucky that we have such amazing merch, fan merch, for something that we love so much. Does your family know about your page?
So yes and no. So my sister-in-law and my brother do. They actually, I have dubbed my sister-in-law the official Oh No Bravo correspondent. And she was actually the one before I started it, you know, she and I, that was kind of what we first bonded over when she first started dating my brother, is we would talk about Bravo and my mom would be like, you guys are speaking a different language. But so they know about it. And she does like a Instagram takeover for me to cover Summer House and some of the other shows that I am not watching right now. So they know about it, but I can literally count on like one hand the people in my real life that know about it, because I've purposely kept it separate because it is such like a self-care creative outlet for me that I just don't really want too many people to know about it.
Unless you watch the show, then you really know exactly what's happening, I think, or Bravo in general, because it's kind of, it's a cult, I would say. Like, people, it's got a cult following.
It is
people
totally
know what you're
cult.
Talking about. What advice would you give for someone starting out in the meme-making world if you were to, talk to a newbie getting into this?
If you're listening to this and you've been like thinking about it, just do it. There's plenty of room for all of us. I honestly feel like our little Bravo lunch table is so supportive and kind, and it's just lovely. It's a lovely community to be a part of. I don't think I should necessarily be giving a seminar on how to make a meme, because my memes are like objectively bad.
No, that's what makes them so good. They're not even bad. They're amazing.
Well, I'm not being facetious or like hyperbolic when I say that I have the technological ability of like an octogenarian. Like, I do not own a computer. I do everything from my phone. So like, I am not technologically savvy. But that being said, the flip side of that is I am proof that if you want to do it, just do it. Because if I can do it, you can do it. I'm telling you, like, I'm not being sarcastic when I say how bad I am at technology. I don't even really use apps. What I do is the iPhone, you can like swipe up and do a screen recording. So I'll look up like YouTube clips and record it. I actually do most of what I do in Instagram stories. Like, that's how I put my words like over top pictures.
Yeah,
and stuff.
How do you layer like that? I'm still getting to know the Instagram story. So I'm curious, like, how you layer upon layer upon layer. It's amazing.
Yeah. So you literally just hit save, and then you'll post it, and then you can re-upload with, I'm sure there's an easier way and there's somebody out there that's like,
yeah,
oh my God, this is how she does it. But that's how I do it. And then the only app that I use is, I downloaded the free version of Photoshop that I've been playing around with. And it's like anything, the more you practice, the better you get. And so for newer followers, or for people that are listening to this that might be checking out my page, you're going to look at my like current Photoshop stuff and be like, how could anything possibly be worse than this? But it's true. Like, my stuff used to be so much worse. So
the Frankenwife is beautiful. I love all the Frankenwives. The last one you did was, wow, just a sexy beast. I've never seen anything like
somebody
that
said it gave them Olivia Wilde vibes. I was like, well, that's very mean to Olivia Wilde, but thank you.
Oh my God. Olivia Wilde, really?
I know, like, maybe
perspective,
laugh.
Right? Perspective.
Right,
artists, you know? In your eyes. So let's get into last week's episode. Let's start off with the opening scene first and talk about the Stassi, Katie, Beau, Tom Schwartz, who I identify with. I identify with a combination of Kristen and Tom Schwartz, which are polar opposites.
Accept the Kristen, but I have a tough time with Tom Schwartz. Maybe you'll make me like him more because I think he's a monster, but go ahead. Take us away.
Okay. I think that there's a moment, and we'll talk about this later, that I'll bring up where there's a like twinkle in his eye when he doesn't have to do any more work as the best man because Tom Sandoval's coming back. That's the part that I relate to him with, because I'm like, oh, Wait, the pressure's off of me. Okay, yeah, here you go. Take it.
Okay, I can understand that.
What do you think about Jax and Brittany going to the party, not inviting Ariana and Sandoval to the wedding? Do you think that that was just...
In a weird, twisted way, I am coming to terms with the fact that Jax and Brittany might be truly made for each other and soulmates. Like, I think that maybe this marriage will last and they're going to end up being like the Spencer Pratt, Heidi couple that like everybody thought was for TV and that they were monsters, but like secretly they're soulmates. For both of them to just be like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with this. Let's go to her birthday party, even though I literally just disinvited both of them from the wedding.
Is the delusion just absolute like, past their head that maybe, or maybe they went into it thinking they were going to make up, so that's why they went? I was thinking maybe they were like, they knew they were going to make up with them anyways, maybe it's all for TV. I don't know, but I was still convinced that they purposefully went because they knew that they were going to make up. That was their forum to make up, and they did it. So
yeah, I think part of it definitely plays into the TV. I think breaking the fourth wall a little bit, that I think Jax and Brittany are going to get screen time however they can get it. So they are going to go to every party. They are going to do what they need to do. But I also think there is a level of delusion. And I think that they kind of like are an echo chamber in their house of like, they don't really see the outside world besides like this wedding that is all encompassing and like the most important thing that has ever happened to anyone ever.
Which is funny because Brittany has always come off to the group or the girls as the sweetest ever, right? Mm-hmm. And Stassi always said that I don't trust people that are that sweet right off the bat, but they do trust Brittany or they did. And so maybe I think she's changing into maybe more of a Jax, and I don't know.
I think my conspiracy theory is that she has always been secretly Jax. She has been Jax in like sheep's clothing, Kentucky accent, pretty smile, and everybody like the fact that she met him through Instagram in Vegas and is now on this TV show. I think she's always known exactly what she's doing, and I think you don't marry Jax Taylor if you like a sweet innocent person doesn't marry Jax Taylor. They date him, get like screwed by, like fucked over by him, and then they leave mm-hmm. him. But she's like actively marrying him.
She sure did, didn't she?
I mean, wow. Wow, yeah. Bethany, wow.
Wow, Bethany, wow. Let's talk about the birthday dessert. Do you like it when your friends order birthday desserts for you and surprise you?
So I'm a self-proclaimed birthday monster. You know, I do, but there was a great sadness for me watching Stassi, it's my fucking birthday, Schroeder, receive this small, tiny cupcake in broad daylight. And Bo blew out her candle. Like, like this is where we've gotten to in Vanderpump Rules, that Stassi is like having a sad birthday luncheon with a cupcake. Like, I need her to be in zombie makeup, sobbing, screaming, pouring drinks, like, this is not the birthday that I want to see. I am a birthday monster, and so I really vibe with Stassi's outlook, and it was sad for me as a birthday monster to watch this scene unfold the way it has.
You don't want to see that happen to you ever, because you want your birthday monster to live long, strong, and forever.
Forever, right? Yes. Forever. Yes, yes.
Okay, we'll keep it alive. Next scene with Lisa and Natalie. This is sad because it was an emotional time for Lisa, and I couldn't help but kind of laugh when Natalie did say, you look the same as you do now in the picture that she gave because yeah. I noticed some differences. Maybe she meant internally you look the same. I couldn't figure it out. Can you help me unpack that?
Well, you know, I think Natalie is a great employee. yeah, that was a really sad scene, but it just made me reflect on last episode when Jax learned that Lisa's mother had passed away suddenly, and his takeaway is life is too short, so we should cut out everybody. Who else can I cut out? Like, yeah. What an absolute garbage goblin that man is.
Garbage goblin. I've never heard of that, but I'll take it. That's a really good way of putting it. And yeah, as if cutting out your own mother from your wedding, one of your last living parents, isn't enough. It didn't really make much sense, but I think that the editors are smart and they are letting us really gauge what's happening on our own, because 100%. It's not too hard to see what's happening there.
Yeah, I just, that was, they started playing the like heartfelt music in the background, and Jax is like, you know, life is too short. And I was like, surely this will be his moment of realizing that why isn't his mother invited? And for that to be his takeaway, I'm like, oh, he's a lost cause. Like, it honestly still makes me a little bit speechless even to think about just how, and for Brittany to sit there like nodding, like, yeah, honey. Cut everybody out. Let's do it.
It's not a good thing, and we can see that more as this goes on. But let's get on to the quick little scene between Danica, Dana, and Raquel, where Raquel's explaining to the girls what happened with her blackout sesh.
This dark. What was your thought about it? Because that was yikes.
Okay, so Raquel is someone that has been growing on me, I think, since her first appearance on The Reunion. Mm-hmm. Because she came out guns blazing and she was super nervous, and she has self-proclaimed social anxiety. So for her to be brave enough to kind of come out there and say what she's got to say, I have to give her credit for that. I really do. And no matter if she's doing this for fame or for James or for whatever have you, I still kind of give her, and yes, she has those characteristics where you're kind of like, what's going on in there, Raquel? what's happening there? So I'm still kind of rooting for Raquel in a sense, because out of all the newbies, I think that she's got that curiosity. Like, I want to know more about her. She's got the balls to stand up to some of the OGs. Mm-hmm. And she's in a relationship with one of the most controversial cast members on the show.
For sure. Yeah, I kind of feel, I'm not convinced that Raquel isn't a fembot from Austin Powers. Like, she may be a robot, but I think she's a robot that's like gaining intelligence and may have like developed a soul. She's been growing on me too. And I don't necessarily like the argument that like, oh, she's only with James because of the fame and blah, blah, blah. That might be true, but like everybody on the show is thirsty, you know, like why are we targeting her for being thirsty and wanting screen time? And if she can leverage this clearly toxic relationship into something, like, good for her. I feel like we've all been like, oh, we need DJ James Kennedy back. And I was like that too. And then you just see this and you're like, oof, there's a darkness there that I don't really want to touch. Like, I don't want to dive into what might be going on behind closed doors in this house.
Yeah, it was definitely deep. And I think later on, the last scene in the episode, we can talk about that later as well, but this scene was setting us up, obviously, for what's yet to come. Mm-hmm. And I thought that it was funny, because the way she was explaining it was, I got blackout drunk, and then I woke up to messages from my boyfriend who was obviously drunk. So
right.
It's like pot, kettle, you know, it's, yeah. So I really wanted to see them clear that up. I just wanted to see them talk it out, because it's kind of hard when two people are totally intoxicated and trying to work something out. So, and then the thing that stood out to me was Dana saying, I don't care who you are, you could be shooting heroin in your eyeballs, which was an image I didn't need in my brain.
You know, it was very reminiscent of Dorinda in Cartagena, wasted with like the Joker lipstick smeared all over her face, talking about like, you could be the biggest heroin addict and you could come in my house and have tea or whatever she was rambling.
Oh my gosh, that was such a moment. That Dorinda moment was, this is one of the reasons why I really like Dorinda on my TV, because you just don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think she's in for a doozy of an edit just based on the trailer, but that's neither here nor there.
All of those women, bring them on my TV now. I want them on there yesterday. I miss New York so much.
I could watch New York like a Truman Show style 24/7 live cam. Like, I need them on all year round.
So next scene is with Ariana and Tom. And Tom brings this monster of a person, brings his beautiful partner and lover wine while she's getting ready. Can you believe that monster? What a jerk.
What a jerk. They have a loveless relationship, loveless. As Jack says.
I don't know what's going on in that house, but it's not okay.
Yeah, Jax needs to put his phone away. Yeah, that was such a lovely scene. And I think it's really brave of Ariana to be open about it. I know she's gotten pushback in past seasons about like perhaps not being as open and honest, and some stuff kind of seems like it's planned out. But I think this is super genuine, and like I just can't imagine having to be surrounded by such a toxic group of people when you're struggling that badly. So I just think it's really important that she's talking about it. And I think Tom is just like, it's just nice to see an actual healthy relationship on Vanderpump Rules.
It is. And I think that they're doing a great job of showing us that they do have a healthy relationship, because their relationship is so sweet. Episode after episode, you can just see the love and support they give each other. And in a partnership, I think that it's really, you know, you want someone to be to go to bat for you. Not necessarily the way that I think Brittany wanted Jax to go to bat for her and knock him the fuck out. But, you know, bring me the wine while I'm getting ready. That's great. Let me talk to you about my problems and you can actually feel what I'm feeling for a second, just so you can know. I don't know. I thought it was extremely sweet and I was happy to see it between the two of them.
Their scenes are always like a breath of fresh air, especially with some of the darker stuff that was going on this episode. I was like, okay, even though Ariana's struggling, it's really nice to see two people who genuinely like each other.
Have you ever celebrated things that you don't want to celebrate? Like, for instance, for me, Mother's Day was always, you know, I've got two kids and my husband always wants to do something amazing for Mother's Day. And in the past, I would just get so filled with emotion on Mother's Day. Nothing connected to it. I just, for some reason, I was like, the expectation of expectation was so high. And I was like, I just need to come out and be like, I love whatever you do, you know, no matter what.
Yeah, for Mother's Day, I'm still relatively new. I have a almost 3-year-old and a 10-month-old. So Mother's Day is still like exciting because it's like, oh, I'm a mom. But I know that like with Mother's Day in particular, my mom, it got to the point where she's like, what I want for Mother's Day is for you guys to leave the house and I have a day by myself in silence. And we're like, okay, we can do that for you.
Easy enough, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What would you do? Would you go to the wedding or would you stand by, you know, your partner's choice to, since he wasn't invited, would you just be like, well, if he's not going, then I'm not going. I can't really stand by this behavior.
I think that I would have to not go. I think especially for Ariana, what she was saying of like, I'm not in a good place. I need Tom there. But for me personally, I just couldn't, if my husband was disinvited from a wedding, even if I was in it, I don't think I could go. I think I would have to stand by, to quote Lala, my man.
I agree. I think that it would be easy enough to be able to stand by the person that you care about, because it's kind of sad. I mean, it's really sad that would happen, but they were quick to turn around. They were pretty quick to turn around and invite, let's get to the party scene. Do you love that Kristen's tame shot is vodka?
Oh, Kristen. I was so excited to see Kristen getting drunk because I was like, yes. Like, she has not been in the past two episodes. I need Kristen. I need a crazy Kristen in every single episode. Kristen is just insane and I love it.
I just love that so much. Brittany's going to want to do a shot and I'm just going to do vodka because I'm like, that's gasoline to my face. I don't think I could ever do a vodka shot ever.
It's hardcore and I love that about Kristen.
Same. What'd you think about Danica tucking in Charlie's tag to the, she's the return, the return her clothes after she wears them, girl. Yeah,
so I have got to say, after this episode, I can proudly proclaim, you heard it here first, I am a Charlie stan now. When she said, I'm going to return it, I laughed. Later on, she holds her own with Sheena. Like, I think I was expecting her to truly be Sheena 2.0 and just kind of be like the side character. And I think she is going to end up being a little firecracker. And I want her to eat pasta. You know, I'm team Charlie.
Yeah, she doesn't seem to give fucks. Like, none fucks to give. Like, she's like, whatever, I don't care. Yeah, the tag's there. I'm just going to return this later. I kind of want a little, I want a little bit of that. I'll take her. I love her.
I've actually, all of the new girls, I'm really liking, which is, I know, a hot take. I know I might be in the minority with that, but I think as they mix more with the OGs, I think that they're going to like really start to shake things up, because I think the OGs, part of what we're seeing, I think, is that the OGs have kind of gotten in a rut of, they know what they're going to talk about on camera, they know what they're not. And I think these new people are coming in and are like, give me the screen time and I don't care what I have to do, which is what the original crew was like in the first couple seasons. So I'm really excited about that. To get off topic a little bit,
please.
I've been talking a lot of shit online about this season. And I think that we've all kind of gotten into the like, oh my God, this wedding. I think Bravo did a disservice in general by kind of making the narrative that the wedding wasn't going to be a storyline, because typically the wedding is the entire season. So I think that we kind of expected it to be over by like episode 2, and when it wasn't, we're like, how is this still going on? But this season has still given us Kristen Doty playing baseball, Tom Schwartz, which we'll get to, digging a grave with a hammer. And then when Jax Taylor was explaining the lyrics to You're Still the One by Shania Twain, I mean, that is a moment that is going down in Bravo history. The look of just despair in Bo's eyes as he realizes that Jax is being like serious about it is just gold. So I think that honestly, like, we just hold Vanderpump Rules to such a high standard that this has still been a good season.
I think it's much better than last season for me in terms of finding things that, you know, I can meme about or I can talk about. It's still exciting to me. And I feel bad for those that it's not as exciting, because I'm still, it's like an Easter egg hunt for me. I'm always looking at those little things where Schwartz digging a grave with a hammer, you know, and Bo being the audience that we are, kind of, and like, what did you just say? Like, why did you just say that?
Definitely.
I don't know about that, buddy.
Yeah. I wish there was less about, and I will keep it light, I wish there was less real world implications for some of the stuff going on with Jax and Brittany. But that aside, I am glad that they seem to be getting a terrible edit and the editors are kind of winking at the audience being like, yes, we know they're terrible. And I think that there is funny things to come. I mean, I can only imagine what it's going to be like when Brittany realizes that this wedding is over and like life continues.
Yeah, what's going to happen after the wedding? That's my, you know, I want to know what's going to happen after the wedding, and how is Jax going to feel towards everybody? Is that just going to, are they going to separate from, they're still going to integrate themselves into the group. So what's going to happen with these relationships? And we still have a lot of episodes to go, so I'm excited for it. What'd you think about the flashback to Jax saying that a text isn't good enough, but you should have sent him a text?
I took notes to prepare for this podcast. And I literally, all I wrote when he said that is, Jax is the fucking worst. Like, what a horrible, nothing that Tom was going to do was going to be good enough for him. And he had made up his mind that he was going to like be a martyr about this. And just the other thing I can't stand is the narrative that, they've both done things to each other.
Oh, no, not at all. The editors, like, know that, too. They're like, no, they only show what Jax has done to Sandoval.
Yeah, it's like, you actually had sex with his girlfriend while he slept in the other room. And he punched you. And why did he punch you? Oh, because you had sex with his girlfriend while he was sleeping in the other room.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's way more stuff that we don't know about, unless there's some secret thing that Sandoval has done to Jax that is yet to come out.
No.
But Jax is like, we're pretty much even on the things that people have done to each other. So we're even. And I'm scratching my head. Like, what is he talking about?
No, because you know, if there was some deep, dark secret that like Sandoval was secretly this like horrible monster that had done this terrible thing, Jax would be the first person that was like singing it on camera and giving all the gory details of like what a victim he was.
Oh, absolutely. Do you ever go back and rewatch old episodes just to, I don't know. I watched a few old episodes and the Miami one was one of them. And I just can't, the one with, what's her name? Vale.
Vale. Yeah.
And he's like, I'm a horrible person. I'm basically the worst. Like, I'm a sex addict. I'm horrible, but you know, it's whatever.
It's just so interesting because it's been, so season one, he totally had everybody fooled. Everybody thought Stassi was crazy. And then at the end was the big like reveal. But then since that point in time, it has been this like, this cycle of like, I'm a new Jax, I've changed. Oops, nope, still old Jax. No, but now I've changed. Now I'm different. And I just can't wait for the merry-go-round to just get back to the point where his like mask slips and he's like a monster once again.
Oh, absolutely. Does your husband watch with you? Because my husband thinks Jax is hilarious. He's like, oh my God, that guy's so funny. Does he know what he's saying?
So my husband does watch. He hasn't been watching so much this season. This is like one of the few shows that he actually will watch. He does watch all the shows and he pretends not to. He'll be like, oh, I don't watch that show, but wait, Kristen and Carter are breaking up. And I'm like, oh, so you do watch, but, his favorite character, and I guess this will tell you a little bit about my husband. His favorite character is Peter, and he feels very bad for Peter and the amount that he has to work and that he is never like invited to any trip. And the fact that the bachelor bachelorette party, he was so excited that Peter got to go. And then he was like, oh, he has to room with Sheena. Like, poor Peter.
They straightened their hair together, right?
Peter needs to stop with that, like, Brazilian blowout. It is not a good look.
Did you like it when he cut his hair? Did your husband, was he like, wow, good job, Peter? Like, that's a nice haircut.
Somebody said that he, My husband, I'm like, somebody funny. My husband is secretly like the funniest person I know. And it drives me insane because when I share his comments on my Instagram page, people like go wild for it. And I'm like, no, it is my account. You cannot be the star. But no, my husband said that when Peter cut his hair, it was secretly the same haircut as Monica from Friends when she had short hair. Did a side by side and it's shocking.
You did. I remember seeing that. That is so cute. Maybe you should have like Peter's Corner where you have your husband in Peter's Corner the whole time. Just like,
oh my gosh. Oh, he truly is.
Have you been to any of the restaurants yet?
I have not. So I am an East Coast girl. I'm in Maryland. So if I ever make it out, my cousin, actually the one that wants the lover boy, she is getting married. And so her bachelorette party might be in Vegas. So if that happens, I will totally be going to the Vanderpump Garden.
I want to go so bad. You should just pop on over to LA. It's not too far. Just be like, hey, let's do this.
No, I would love to plan a trip out there, but I think, we do have some friends in LA, but I think my husband knows, like, if we're going to go to LA, we're going to do all the things. Like, we are going to do the full bar crawl. So I think he has to, like, mentally prepare himself for that.
It's good that he watches the shows, though. So when you go to those places, then you know that he'll enjoy it too.
Yeah, he gets why I need to, like, take a selfie by the Sir Dumpster.
Yeah. That's what we do. We go there and we enjoy all areas of the Vanderpump buildings. Back to the party. We have a sit down with Tom, Ariana, Brittany, and Jax. And Jax says he wants Tom by his side. And then he goes in an interview, right? And he says, my mind hasn't changed at all. I still feel the same way.
He wants Tom by his side, but not actually by his side. Actually, he wants Tom Schwartz by his side, and Tom can stand behind Tom Schwartz.
Tom cried. He got so upset. Sandoval cried. He brought the umbrella out, and he's like, don't you wish you had one of me on your side? But here's my umbrella shading you, and you're still giving me shit about it. I feel so bad for the guy.
That infomercial, I don't know if that's next, but that infomercial for the best man, that is truly, like, I love the editors for Vanderpump Rules. I love when they do these little quirky things. And when Sheena said, Tom wasn't my best man, and now I'm divorced. Like, I need that on a t-shirt immediately.
You should make t-shirts. Let's start it. Or, like, one of our Etsy gals, let's get them to make a t-shirt of that. After the party, Jax and Brittany call Lance Bass.
Yeah, they sure did. And my note says, Jax and Brittany call Lance Bass while Jax gives a popsicle of fellatio.
Yeah. They were so wasted, too. Like, what a great time to talk about our vows when we're three sheets from the wind and just totally shit-faced drunk. Let's talk about our vows.
Yeah, and I thought, I do have to say, because I do give Brittany a very hard time, but this was a very genuine, cute moment for her when she's like, we're having Lance Bass officiate our wedding, because as another, like, I'm around Brittany's age, and if I had Lance Bass officiate my wedding, I too would be that excited. So that was like a moment that I was like, you know what, Brittany, okay, I'll give this one to you. Like, this is a very cute, excited moment for you.
A serious moment of Ariana confronting Raquel.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too dark and deep, but I thought it was really important only because Ariana has been so vocal about her past relationship. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was really getting more in depth, that beginning, middle, and end to this Raquel story, if you will, about mm-hmm. what's going on with her. So I thought it was great for Ariana to kind of help Raquel.
Yeah, I think it was a really sweet scene, and it was really good advice. And one thing I have to say, like, I know that the other castmates call it them being like martyrs or woke or whatever, but Tom and Ariana truly do always seem to look out for the underdog or for like the people that are on the fringe of the friend group. And so it was really nice to see her kind of taking Raquel under her wing to be like, listen, like, I felt like the undertone also underneath the really good advice was also like, you're still shooting a scene right now. Like, you don't have to be with James to be here. So I think that was just a really sweet moment.
Going back to what we had said before about Raquel kind of coming into her own, that remember when Brittany went through that when mm-hmm. with the breakup with Jax, and the girls were like, you don't need Jax to be on the show. Like, you can still be on the show. And they didn't outright say that, but you can tell that that's kind of what they were implying.
Right.
And I can totally see the same thing happening here, like you said. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad they had that scene, because I think Ariana kind of needed to do that for herself, too, to maybe feel.
Yeah, like she came out the other side of it and she's okay now. And and getting back a little bit to the to Ariana kind of always looking out for the underdog, this is a little bit off topic, but last week, part of the reason that I had such a hard time with Lala not really standing up for Ariana when Jax was talking, when basically everybody was talking shit about her and Lala calling her like a wet blanket, is Ariana like went to bat for Lala before Lala was accepted by the general group. So I like Lala and I want her to be the Lala that I love. But that was really hard for me to watch, to kind of see, like, knowing what Ariana's going through. I hope that we see Lala adjusting her attitude to her, because that was really hard to watch.
There's definitely some weird disconnect there. And I feel like something should have been said no matter what. I mean, Randall has PJ, not Jax. So who's holding who back?
Right. Right. Exactly.
The Kentucky Castle. Stassi, this is your room. This is the diarrhea room. Enjoy it. It's beautiful.
Jax's dog shitting all over that castle is
diarrhea shit.
Just such an omen for things to come in Brittany's life. Like, oh my God.
Talk about foreshadowing. I mean,
yes. Yeah. I have to say, Versailles is very pretty.
Versailles is beautiful.
I can do without. I think Stassi can retire the Game of Thrones references. I get it. You like Game of Thrones. You like dragons. You like castles. But I need her to retire that shtick, because when she entered being like, it's like Game of Thrones and Downton Abbey, I'm like, okay, we get it. That's your last one. That's the last one I'm giving you.
I know. I wonder if she's watching it back going, okay, I said it again. Oh no, there it is again. Like, I'm still going for it, but she probably doesn't give a fuck. But yeah, I can kind of do without those as well. I love Kristen's interview dress. That's just a side note. The black one that she wore. She looked like she was going to a black tie event, and I dug it for some reason.
Kristen has low key good style.
She does.
Stassi obviously has good style. She dresses well, for her just in general. But Kristen always, like, I rarely see Kristen in an outfit and give the, like, Katie Maloney, oof, what are you wearing?
Oh, it is. Yeah. And she's got a good, I don't know. She always talks about how lanky and awkward she is, but her body is just nice. Like,
no, she has a model body.
She wears her clothes really well. And I'm like, I would take that. I would do that. And I would be a mess walking like a baby giraffe. I'll do that. No problem. Dog's dead. We talked about dog dying 2019 to 2019. You want to talk about the shovel? I mean, the hammer.
So grade? I shared this online, but I will share my my haiku that I wrote for the occasion.
Oh, beautiful. So we love art.
So here's my haiku, and it's called Valley Village Victim. Are you okay, dog? A grave made with a hammer. Rest in peace, old friend.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. I mean,
that is so amazing.
That lizard, that they only had him for like a month, I feel like.
Yeah.
poor dog. I felt like a monster because I was laughing, and I'm somebody that typically, like, if I go see a movie and a human dies, I'm like, oh, that was sad. And if an animal dies, I'm like sobbing and like ugly crying. But for whatever reason, I think it was just the mental image of Tom, like, it's making me laugh now, like him using a hammer I was laughing and I was like, I am a true monster.
Those are the kind of moments that I feel like are perfect.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of moments that I'm like, this is why I love the show, because they get these moments, they show them to us, and then even though it's over the lizard, it's still one of those moments where I'm like, yes, Vanderpump Rules. I see you. You see me. We're in this together.
Yes.
James and Raquel. Okay. Are you ready to get a little deep?
I am ready. I'm ready for it.
I think that they needed this. I think that this is an important, serious moment for people that might be affected by those who have. I know that we don't want the show to get too serious, but I think it's a good reminder of these people drink a lot, and maybe we should be like, hey, there's Al-Anon if you need it. You know what I mean? Like,
I liked that they gave resources. It seemed like a genuine, like, real scene. Like, Raquel crying was so sad and also so weird looking, because her Botox, like, prevented her from, it was just strange, but it was also very moving. Mm-hmm. I think that it was a nice reminder that, yeah, like, these people party a lot and it might not always be healthy that they do, and that they're pushed to party so much for the show. And I really hope, I saw that James went on Watch What Happens last night, and he said he's not 9 months sober. So I really, if it's true, like, good for him. I think his eyes looked pretty clear. Like, I hope it's real. And I especially hope that if they actually are going to continue their relationship, that for Raquel too, he's sober.
Yeah, me too. I think they do make a good relationship, him being sober. And then I don't feel like Raquel is a big alcoholic. I think she just goes out and has fun. I mean, we've all been there. We've all been young. So I think that they do complement each other. I hope they stay together, and I hope they make it long term. All right. Give me your best plot twist for the show this season. What would you want to see come out of this? The show is called Twisted Plot Podcast, and I want to know what your best plot twist for this show would be.
My plot twist would be that Katie Maloney Schwartz is playing the long con game, and that she is soon going to announce that she is rebooting a remake of What Not to Wear, and she's going to be the first fashion victim makeover. And this has all just been a giant ploy.
I think that that is the most fantastic plot twist, because I never, ever would have expected it.
I mean, you cannot be best friends with Stassi and make the fashion choices that she makes. I don't understand it.
Katie Maloney, if you're listening, you're going to make it after the show. We know it. We know it for sure.
Ask, believe, receive.
Will the viewers ever get to see you, Chelsea?
You know, if one day I can have a million followers and quit my day job and make watching TV a full-time job, which is the dream, then absolutely. But I am, so I'm a therapist, so I do have to remain anonymous. It wouldn't be the best look for my clients to know that, like, I'm spending hours talking about Vanderpump Rules. So,
Relatable, Chelsea. It's relatable.
But certainly, you know, follow me at Ono Bravo and at least get me to a swipe up. Let's start there. And then, you know, but for now, just imagine my beautiful, perfect face. I'm kind of a mix between Gigi Hadid and Kendall Jenner.
An angel walks amongst us. My plot twist for you is that you go on Vanderpump Rules as one of their therapists. You become one of the Vander therapists that they need. Maybe this is the long game for you.
I love that plot twist. I will totally manifest that. Although, you know, I might lose my license because I think if I was face-to-face with Jax, I would just be like, sorry, lost cause, nothing I could do here.
Just bring a bunch of rocks that he can put on his head.
Oh my God. Well, he did like his Reiki Master Kelsey.
That's what I
mean. So perhaps he can have a therapist, Chelsea.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Chelsea. It's been so fun talking to you. I hope that you'll come on again and just talk about our favorite passion here. We can talk about other Bravo shows as well.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to see where your journey takes you, because I think you've got an amazing platform and your ideas are so funny. So thank you for having me.
Only two episodes, just this one and the last one. No, I'm just kidding. I peaked. It's fine. Okay. All right. I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next time, and remember, stay twisted.